Go to John 16. I'm going to show you a progression of how God does things, how he bursts things into the earth, how he brings them out of heaven into the earth. Things are coming out of the riches in glory down into the natural realm. You have to know how that works. If you don't know how that works, then you're going to be wishing and wondering and hoping that he'll do that. You've got to know how he brings things out of riches and glory into the earth. He'd been teaching us for the last year and a half on this, but he culminated a lot of it in the last 3 weeks. And I'm going to try to bring some of that to you tonight. Boy, you get a hold of this, you're going to be one blessed person in every area of your life. Verse 13, John 16, it said, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." This is what he showed me today. He goes, "What do you think about that verse?" I always looked at that as, you know, prophetically, you know, he shows us future events. He shows us events. Really, he does. He absolutely does prophetically. But what he's talking about right here is he's showing you what is to come in your life. He's showing your future in advance. He shows it to you. Then he teaches it. He declares it. In the next verse, he says, "He'll glorify me. He'll receive of mine." And we know he did that in Acts 2:33. "Having therefore been exalted at the right hand of God, having received of the Father the Holy Ghost," Jesus received the Holy Ghost in the right hand of God. And then he gave the Holy Ghost his inheritance right there. And that's what he's talking about right here. "He'll receive of mine and he'll show it." He shows it to you, declares, discloses, and transmits it. But he's showing you the things to come. Now, the reason why he has to do that is he's first going to show you what is to come in your life. If you don't know what is to come, you have no compass. If you don't know what it is he wants you to bring forth in the earth, you have no compass. So you wander around. We wander and we wish and we wait and we hope because we have no bearing, we have no compass, we have no pathway. He's going to bring that to you. And the way he's going to bring that to you, he's going to bring the living word of promise to you. He's going to bring the living promise, rhema promise, and he's going to set it upon the lampstand of your heart. When God brings revelation to you, it's not just to make you smart or to make you wise. He's bringing it to you because it's part of his process of how he's going to get it into the earth. What he's showing you, the things to come, is what he wants to bring forth through your life. But just because he shows it to you does not automatically make it happen. It's not on autopilot at that point. That's the first stage. He's going to bring you what is to come into your life. He brings it in the form of revelation. Not just your calling, but also the part of the inheritance he wants you to birth in your life. How many of you are carrying something the Holy Spirit has showed you things to come in your life? How many of you have been carrying it for a while? How many does it ever get frustrating? Sometimes it's frustrating because we don't know his process. The reason why he brings it to you, because that's the first stage he shows you. Once he sets it upon the lampstand of your spirit, it's there. Amen? And now you have to interact with that. That's his first part, showing us things to come. So when God gives you revelation, you got to know that's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. The enemy is going to surely try to counterfeit it. Surely what he's going to do is try to bring something that looks similar to what God has said, but out of your own loins, out of your own flesh, out of your own sufficiency. He's going to try to counterfeit that. And then we all have to go through that. How many of you have gone through that? Raise your hand. That's part of the process. He's got to get that part out of you. If he can't get that part out of you, he can't get the thing to come forth. Amen. Now go to Mark chapter 11 and we'll get into what he wants to talk about tonight. Now, when the Lord, after his baptism, of course, he went into the wilderness for 40 days. When he come out of the wilderness and he declared that anointing, he came into Nazareth and he declared that anointing is upon me. The first thing he said when he knew that anointing come upon him, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's very important you understand that, because Jesus knew the kingdom of heaven was with him. He knew he was carrying it. He knew it didn't have to come down from heaven. The Holy Ghost brought it down from the Father to manifest here. He knew it was right here. If the kingdom of God is not that close to you, it's because it's either been stolen from you or you don't know the process by which it's coming. When he shows you things to come, the Holy Spirit's bringing what is to come in your life in the form of a word. That word that he's bringing has all the inheritance of the kingdom in it, and he's brought it right out of the right hand of God. He brought it down from the right hand of God because Jesus was the appointed heir. He inherited all things, but the hope of his calling was to get what he inherited, his fullness, down into the body through a transference of jurisdiction. He has it all up there. We got to get it down here. Amen. We got to get all that fullness here, and that's going to happen by the Holy Ghost and by what I'm about to tell you tonight. Amen. I'm going to show you the process by which you're going to birth something. The first thing is you've got to get something working in your spirit. You've got to get something working in your heart. If you don't have anything working in your heart, what does the Holy Spirit have to work with? You get back into no man's land. You're wondering and you're thinking, okay, he's going to bring it down from above. You're looking out here, you're looking into yesterday, looking into tomorrow. You're looking in all the wrong places. That's why you're not giving birth, because you're looking in the wrong places. Amen. All right, look at Mark chapter 11. I'll read these three or four verses here. Verse 22. Preach this a long time now. I understand it. There's a lot packed in here. You have to understand, when the Lord teaches like this, you got to have the Holy Spirit extract all that. He's the one that'll come and extract that and teach you what the Lord said, because there's so much compacted in what he said that the Holy Spirit has to come and reveal it and teach it to you and extract it and show it to you. Amen. That's what he does. He shows you things to come. So Mark 11, 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believeth those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's huge. Let's say huge. And when you stand praying, forgive. That's huge. For if you have aught against any, then your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespass. We're a year and a half right now learning on what he just said in five verses. We've went through a complete journey that can be summarized in five verses. A huge journey of understanding how to bring what's in heaven here. Amen? Now, I'm going to pull out first. There's four major things he's talking about here. Of course, having faith, and he's going to talk about three things here with faith. One, of speaking to your mountains. Number two, this exchange or this transfer of jurisdiction. Number three, clearing your land of trespasses. If you have trespasses, it's not coming through. The kingdom will be blocked. We spent a long time on trespasses. You guys remember that. I mean, the Holy Ghost has been very thorough the way he's been training us. Why? Because we're asking him to bring the kingdom of God. But if there's things blocking that flow, he can't get it through. If he can't get it through you, it gets plugged up. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you got trespasses and unforgiveness and aught in your heart reigning, it will not come through. You can confess and you can believe and you can meditate and you can have all of it, but it won't come through the veil. It gets blocked up in there. That's what big thing the enemy does, is sow the ought, sow the unforgiveness, sow the offense, sow the resentment, create the trespass, and then through the trespass, he locks you down. If you have trespassed, the Father cannot forgive you. If you cannot forgive, neither will he forgive you, is what he's saying. I'm going to take verse 24, because this is where we've been the last two or three weeks. This is the big one right here. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. Now, this desire here is what the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. See, without a relationship with the Holy Ghost, see, when he brings to you, starts declaring, disclosing, and transmitting the kingdom of God to you, he's going to fill your life with desire. He's going to fill your life with a particular desire for the kingdom of God, which encompasses everything you need, want, and desire, but more importantly, what it is he's calling you to do, showing you that thing that he wants you to birth, showing you thing to come. That's that desire that he's talking about. Amen. He's going to fill you with that desire to have this process working in your life. Now, what he says here, watch this. And when you pray, believe that you receive. That word them is really wasn't in there. You can just cross that out. It'll be italicized in your Bible. He said, believe that you receive and you shall have. How many of you think believing you receive and shall have is the same thing? Raise your hand. So, if I'm believing God, I'll just, what I'm believing him for, I'm believing for the mountain of generational inheritance. The first thing I'm believing him for, because there's several mountains I'm asking him to bring in. He goes, don't try to work five things at one time, but get one thing working. I tell you something right now, if you don't get the financial thing working in your life, you're going to struggle a lot. Doesn't matter how big your ministry is. I was talking to a guy today. He's on the inside of a very, very large ministry. He's all up in there, and he says they struggle all the time and have been struggling for the history of their ministry, have been struggling financially. One of the biggest ministries in the world. And he said they always struggle, because he was telling me how it weighs on this man that carries this ministry. It's always a burden. If you don't get this thing one, it doesn't matter where you're going, whether you're in your business, your family, your ministry. He's going to fight that all your life. Some people have a handle on that and some do not. If you don't, and the enemy's fighting you all the time, guess what? I'll give you some news. He'll continue to fight you. He'll continue to fight you. And what we're believing God is to bring this mountain he showed me 6 years ago. I call it the mountain of generational inheritance, how to get it into the earth. Amen. Now, what does he say here? He says, you believe that you receive, then you shall have. So the question is, where do you actually receive that, and how do you receive it? There's obviously two things working here. He says, you believe that you receive, and then you shall have. Now, we know shall have is manifestation. Amen? Shall I have? Hey, that's when you see it. That's when your hands touch it. If it's financial, that's when it gets deposited in the bank. That's the shall have. That's what you're handling. That's the manifestation. But the receiving is not the manifestation here in this jurisdiction. He's talking about a transference of jurisdiction and how it's transferring when you pray, how that transference is going to take place. The first place it's coming is to you. He says, you believe that you receive. Where do you receive it? How do you receive it? That's huge. He's telling you the process by which it's coming. Why would he start talking about trespasses and unforgiveness? You know why? Because it's the same channel. He's talking about the same channel where it's coming. So you have to believe you receive. Now, we know this because we've been in this. We know the Holy Ghost has brought it down to us. Amen. You have to know this. When he spoke this to me a couple weeks ago, he said, the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heavens to bring him back down, or who shall descend in the deep to bring him back up. He says, but what saith it? What saith it? Thy word is very nigh thee. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. Say, it's in my heart. It's in my mouth. Do you know what he just said? If you understand what he's talking about, that's just not a word from the page of this Bible. Oh yeah, I got it in my heart, got it in my mouth. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that living word, that living inheritance that he received when he, the Father, sent the Holy Spirit into the right hand of God and he received the inheritance. The first thing he did to get that over to you, what's the first thing he's got to do? He's got to show it to you. He's got to declare what is to come. He brings that word and he puts it on the lampstand of your heart. Like I've been saying, Mount Hebron might be a word, but it's 11 messages. It's a panoramic history of generational inheritance, but it's a single mountain. It's a word that's living in my heart. He brings it to you. And the first thing that has to happen, you have to receive that. You got to get it in you. You got to get it deep in you. It's got to be dwelling in the midst of your heart. See the sower, he sows the word, but you got to know what's in that word. This is not a word. It has spirit and life, and more importantly, it's part of the inheritance that he inherited. He sent the Holy Spirit to start revealing that part to you so he can bring that part out of you. Before he gets it out of you, you got to get it in you. It's not in heaven anymore that you have to go up and get it. It's not in the depths. Boy, when he got that over you, when that light comes on you, I'm telling you, that is phase one. It's huge. You got to know what you're looking for is abiding in you. If you don't know it, it's already been snatched. You're going to have to get it re-sown. If it's not burning right here and living right here, you're looking for it somewhere else. As soon as the enemy snatches it, you're going to look for it in somewhere else. You're going to look for it in something else, someone else, everything but where it's supposed to be. Why? Because he's bringing it. What saith it? Thy word is very nigh thee. Romans 10, Deuteronomy 30. It's very nigh thee. It's in thine heart. It's in thy mouth. That's the place he's going to bring it. He's going to put it on the lampstand of your spirit. You got to know what he's putting there. You have to treasure it beyond all treasure. If you knew what was in it, you'd sell everything else just to go after that one thing. Show me how to get this treasure you brought down from the right hand of God. If you don't know what he put in you, it'll get snatched up pretty quick. If you don't know how to keep it, it'll get snatched up pretty quick. If you're a novice, he's going to try to counterfeit it with something that looks a whole lot like it, but he's going to bring it up out of your flesh instead. He brings that. He says, you got to believe that you receive it. See, it's actually going to be deposited into you. That is the final place before it moves into manifestation. It's going to work its way all the way down from the right hand of God. By the person of the Holy Spirit, he brought it, actually, when he came and he baptized. When you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, he brought that inheritance. The first thing he did, he shows you things to come. He opens that and he releases it and deposits it in the veil of your heart. That's why you got to work it right there. If you are not working that promise right there, you're looking for it somewhere else. Until that revelation dawns on you, that it's not in the heavens, you have to go get it. It's not in the depths, you have to go down and get it. I spent a long time trying to get God to bring it down from heaven. God said, I already did. You just don't believe it yet. When you see somebody crying out, God, come down. He says, I already have. The early church knew the Holy Ghost had brought it down with him. They knew it. They were real close to him. He was their partner. Because he brought the glories of the right hand of God down in. He brings it in here. This is where you're going to work from, right here. This is where you're going to work your future from. You got to settle right here. I have it. If you haven't settled it, you're going to go outside of the realm which the Holy Spirit bursts it from, and you're going to look for it somewhere else. You're going to look for it in somebody. You're going to look for it in some place. Are you going to go back up and say, you better come on back down again? See, you don't know he brought it. That's the big part. You have to believe, say believe, that you receive. You got to know when the Holy Ghost came to abide and dwell within you forever, He came to declare it, disclose it, and this is where it is. And if you'll start right here in the receiving, why do you think He put it on the lampstand of your heart in the first place? Keep thy heart that's full of the Word with all diligence, for out of it will flow the wellsprings of life. See, the veil of the heart's the final place it flows. If you think you have to go all the way up to heaven to get it to come down, you're working hard. I've done that. I've worked very hard at it. It took a long time to understand what I'm giving you right now. When you learn that all I have to do is get it right here, protect it, keep it, guard it, the last place of its journey, He's bringing it here. The Word will become flesh. It's going to come through the veil. That's the shall have. Once it passes through, the Holy Spirit will immediately manifest it. He won't wait 24 hours to manifest it. How will I know when it passes through the veil? There will be an immediate manifestation. Say immediate. That's what's crossing the line. It's passing through. That's where your faith needs to be working right there. Now, there are things that are going to try to resist that. And that's what He began to talk about in the first verse there. Let's read that again. And He says, verse 23, "But verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart." See, again, that's where you're working it, from the heart. You're going to have to get very skilled at living right here. Matthew 6, when He told you the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Pray like this, Our Father which art in heaven." Do you know three verses before that what He said? He says, "When you pray, enter into thy closet first. Enter into the secret chamber first. Enter into the inner chamber and shut the door." That door is the door of the flesh, the world, and the devil. You got to learn to move into that realm, because you're going to operate out of it. That's how the kingdom's coming into the earth. That's how it's going to manifest. Whether you're manifesting a blessing, most people can't actually grasp the concept that a full-blown citywide revival is actually living inside you. The reason why we can't grasp that concept, we don't feel it. How can that live right here? God has to bring that down. He already did. The person of the Holy Ghost brought all things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say to you, he shall receive of all things that I have. All power in heaven and earth. All the riches in heaven and earth. All the glories of heaven and earth. All the blessings of heaven and earth. All the strength and the wisdom of heaven and earth. He will receive it of mine and show it to you. He's brought it to you. If you don't have it in here, you can't bring it out by faith. The Holy Ghost is going to bring it out. You understand that. He's the one out of your innermost being is flowing rivers. Say out of. Not from out here to here. You're in the wrong place. If you're looking for heaven to come from here to here, you're operating in the wrong realm. It's the Holy Ghost. He says, "This spake he of the Holy Ghost," because he's bringing that inheritance through you. He's going to break it out in front of you. A lot of people are going to get blessed because you brought something down from heaven. They're going to get up on your blessing, see. And that blessing gets up in the atmosphere. Anybody around that blessing, you can have the Word in you all day long. Until it breaks out of you, there's no manifestation or demonstration. It's wisdom. You got lots of wisdom and you're full of the Word. When that demonstration gets around you, somebody walk up in the atmosphere of your life, Holy Ghost will go, whoosh. He'll drop it right on you. All of a sudden, you'll walk up out of there and some things will start happening to you. It's like, what's going on? Because you got it on somebody that brought heaven down. The Holy Ghost is free to assign all of that to anybody he wants once it gets out in the atmosphere. He can't do anything while it's locked up inside you. He has to have your faith to bring it out. He has to have your cooperation to bring it out. He needs you to know how the process works. He stopped this ministry from developing until he could figure out how he wants to develop it. Because we were developing it the way everything else runs. A little bit of anointing and a lot of man. They said, "I'd like to see my kingdom come. I'd sure like to see the kingdom of God be demonstrated. We keep putting it off. Oh, one day it'll come. When God's timing, that one day is not right here then. As long as you have one day, you'll wake up tomorrow with one day. And tomorrow, I've been 14 years with one day in my heart. That one day is gone. I know where it is now. I know how to set my eyes, bind it on the frontlets of my spiritual eyes, bind it continually to my heart. I lost the flow, so I know how painful that is. You know, you can learn a lot through your pain. You learn a lot of ways how not to do it. Amen. You've been around long enough, you'll go, oh, that ain't going to work. But you can tell what works and what doesn't work. You quit getting hung up on things. You quit getting blown away by every wind because you'll know, I done did that. It's not going to happen. Amen. Boy, if you just get that part of holding it, your whole generations can change. Some of you need financial blessing to come slap you right upside the head big time. It hadn't showed up around you in so long. You're living in a familiarity of poverty, and you're excusing in it like God's trying to teach you something because you haven't seen blessing in so long, you don't even know what it looks like. You don't even believe on the inside God would even do that. Yet inside, you really want him to do it. Because inside here is all messed up. And God's got to rearrange all that. He's got to fill what's inside here that's full. See, when he brings that word, if you learn to keep it, it's so full of faith, it'll grow magnificently on the inside of you. I'm not just talking financial here. I'm talking everything of God. I'm just keeping you down the path because we're going to get this mountain into the earth. Lord, so you get that mountain first and you won't have to struggle near as hard. You know, the first thing people do when someone's blessed, they judge them. And as soon as you judge somebody, you can't touch their blessing. It won't come on you. You won't even know how they got it. You're veiled. You can't even hear from them anymore. He said, you believe that you receive, you shall have. Oh, yeah, we're talking about speaking to the mountains now. He said, not doubt in heart. He says, you can say into this mountain. Now, there's going to be mountains. They're going to present themselves around what's been deposited in you. And these mountains are going to come up out of nowhere. And they're going to just stand right up in front of you and say, no, no, no. One of the great things probably God wants you to overcome is what keeps dogging your tracks year after year after year. And you keep thinking, one day God's going to come and get me and just set me in the promised land. Look at the children of Israel. When God just set them in the promised land, they went in there with swords drawn. When they went in the promised land, they went in there with God and they fought. And they drove the enemy out. There's not just an automatic. Sometimes we just get God in that mentality. That's not how he works. He trains you for these things. He equips you. It shows you how to win. Or we just put up with it. Get out of one day faith. Get out of that boat. Because that boat is never going to produce anything. Amen. Come on, let's give him glory. I got to get out of that boat. I'm going to get in his boat. Now listen, there's something about we believe you receive. Now listen, get out of this is going to happen one day. I believe I receive, I'm going to shall have. Listen, between believe you receive and shall have, when you're first working it, it's going to take some time because you got to understand the process. The better you get acquainted with the process, the quicker you're going to get the shall have. You're going to have to hold it for a while. You're going to have to keep it and feed it and set your imagination upon it and meditate upon it and speak it. You got to live with that promise on the inside of you. You got to keep it. You got to spend some time with it. You got to get acquainted with it. Solomon understood this. He said, bind this upon your heart continually. Put it on the frontlets of your eyes. When I first taught this, I taught about how to build the shield of faith around you because the Holy Ghost, and I didn't understand yet. I was trying to work out here. You don't work your faith out here. You'll get slaughtered. You try to work up out here. This is the enemy's territory. What's out here? He'll slaughter you real quick. I lasted, what, about 6 months? Then we're off into something else. You got to get in that inner chamber before you start praying. You got to get into that place where you get in part of the big place. The living word comes with the image of God. He doesn't come when he brings a word to you, a Mount Hebron. He doesn't spell out M-T-H-E-B-R-O-N, inheritance, I-N-H-E-R-I-T-A-N-C-E. He brings that in the form of an image. He brings a living word and a living image because you hold that image. See, you set it upon your eyes. This is where you're working it, right here. You set it upon your mouth. You keep it on the front of your eyes. Now listen, when he brings that to you, there's going to be some mountains come up around that thing. Mountains either already there. Generally, when he gives you words, he's just going to confront what's already been there. Those mountains have been there a long time. Some of them are generational. When God brings a generational mountain, it'll probably confront a generational curse. A generational mountain that's confronting a generational curse. He's going to ask you to overcome. God gives you an assignment of enemy to promote you. We think we're going to get promoted. We got to get out of that thing. God's going to come and pluck us out and pluck us in. You are not getting promoted unless you go through the process of a victory with God. You got to move out what's standing in front of you. If you're not even working at that, you're just going to be in the same place you are next year as you are now. You got to feed it. You got to do something with it on the inside of you. You get a revelation of it, you'll do it. Or you can watch it start growing on my limbs. I'll learn how to get up in here and work this thing and look at it and see it, and it's exploding in there. That mountain's getting bigger than any mountain out here. Now, he tells you what to do with the mountains out here. You're going to have to use your mouth. How many of you wake up and go to bed every day of your life and don't use your mouth very much? Don't even raise your hand, because I already know. The way we use our mouth is, oh, God. How come? Why? When? One day, we'll be talking to people. One day he's going to do it. I tell you, one day it's going to be awesome when he decides to come. Holy Ghost, I am here. Can't you believe that I've come to dwell in you forever, and you keep putting me out till tomorrow? This is not a good analogy, but it is a good analogy. When I was in high school, college, we went down to New Braunfels to ride the river rapids, and we liked to have a few before we got on the river and then have a few when we were in the river. And we went to the saloon and said, free beer tomorrow. And it had a sign there, free beer tomorrow. I'm like, that's awesome. Let's come tomorrow. But then you wake up tomorrow, it's free beer tomorrow. You see? So you go in there tomorrow, it's free beer tomorrow. You never can get your hands on it because it's somewhere else other than inside you. Not you need the beer there, but you get the picture. Promise of God fulfilled tomorrow. Wake up tomorrow. Promise of God will be fulfilled one day. Wake up tomorrow. One day your promise. See, the enemy sows a sign on the inside of you that says one day your promise, because he never wants you to accept the fact that the Holy Ghost already brought it. He brought it. I got a sign on me. I got it now. I've received it now. I believe I receive. I may have some mountains. I'm going to start talking to them. So if you're going to stand up here in front of this promise, you know what I do? I use that imagery of Pharaoh and his armies. They sang that song, horse and the rider thrown into the sea. A whole army got wiped out in the Red Sea. I see my mountains. I see Pharaoh's army just trying to stand up there in front of me, trying to control me. See, the devil don't like you coming up out. He'll come and pursue you. You start trying to come up out of his little territory of control, he'll pursue you. He'll try to intimidate you. I said, no, horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Dead, poverty, lack, need, destruction. You are thrown into the sea. Mountains be thou removed. I cast you into the sea. Get out of my way. So you got to speak. Death and the life, power of the tongue, they that indulge in it. You got to do this. Now, when you first start doing it, you probably have no faith up in you because you haven't been working anything. Everything's very awkward, dry. No fun. Well, how long do you do this every day? You know, understand, I don't have a lot of time here. All my time's been taken up. You have plenty of time. It's just what you're allocating it to. I can assure you. I spend no more than 45 minutes doing this. No more. Say no more in 45 minutes. Anybody have 45 minutes? If you don't, I found if you'll give him the first part of your day before you get all junk up in your trunk, you got to unload all that stuff. The more junk you get up in there, you got to unload it because you got to get up in there. So when you start first with none of that junk's there, you can go right into that place. See, when I get in there, I don't sit there and shout at the devil. You can. But more importantly, I'm working that image of that mountain. I'm calling that mountain up through the veil of the heart. See, I got it in the heart. I rehearsed that mountain. I'll look all through the history. I said, oh, man, Father. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were all buried there. That anointing that was in those men, that blessing was upon them and their wives. All that anointing was buried up in that mountain. All that fruit that the children of Israel came up in there, it's in that mountain. And Caleb spent 45 years in faith for that one mountain. He received the prized possession and the sons of Anak. No more of thy name shall be seen or sown again. Sometime I'll just stand up and say, now you get off my mountain. No more thy name shall be seen or sown again. You are utterly cut off and you will not rise the second time. Thou horse and the rider, you are thrown into the sea. Get out of the way. This mountain that's in my heart, David, he was crowned first king here. It launched his kingdom. It launched his Old Testament reign, the greatest one in the entire history of the Bible. It launched him into multiplication and increase. He received the inheritance. I have this mountain. I hold this mountain. I hold it right here. I call forth this generational inheritance. I got it right here, Father. All it has to do is come from here, here. I call it out into the earth. I call it through the veil of the heart. I call it through the veil of the heart. I call it through the veil. I call it through the veil. And all of a sudden, you just get all up in that. The anointing will get on you. Now, you may not want to work Mount Hebron, but I think about everybody in here should. But if you need to work whatever he's got burning on the inside of you, that's the one I'm working. Chucking, and I already figured something out after 14 years. The enemy's not going to leave us alone till we get it right. He is not going to back off till we get it right. You can wish all day long and wait all day long. If you're going to do it God's way, it's going to be born by promise. You got to understand Abraham had two sons. You got two sons living inside of you. You got an Isaac that'll be birthed only by faith and promise. And you got an Ishmael that can be birthed by your own works. And you're going to have to choose which one you're going to bring forward. Ishmael's going to come out with a whole lot of problems. He's going to fight you all the days, but Isaac's going to come out blessed. He's going to multiply and increase, but you're going to have to bring him out by faith. You're going to have to bring that out by faith, and you're going to have to do it God's way, just like Abraham did. I'm telling you, it clicked in him. It clicked in him. There's something happened to him. He realized, my God, he's been asking me to look at these stars and the sun for a long time. He realized he had to hold it. Against hope, believed in hope, became the father of many nations. He held it right in his heart. See, against hope, believed in hope, staggered not at the promise. See, there's a realm you move into in the heart. You operate out here, you'll stagger all day long because you're trying to hold an eternal promise out here in the devil's playground. You stagger not at the promise in here. You move up into the realm of the heart. You won't stagger because, see, that's where the word's living. That's where the Holy Spirit's activating. You're living up in there. You won't stagger because you're living in another dimension. You're operating in another dimension. And what's going on gets so strong. When you come out of there, it's more powerful than what you're looking at out here. This stops prophesying to you out here. This stuff starts talking to you out here. And you stop accepting things just because the enemy puts it in your path. I don't think I will accept that today. What's inside's coming out. What's inside of you is coming out into the earth. What's going on in the inside of you? God is going to draw his glory out of his people. That word's coming out. That word's going to become flesh. And Jesus is going to begin dwelling among men. That glory's going to dwell among men again. The Holy Ghost is going to start anointing his people again. Because he's going to draw the kingdom of God out of them. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. It's right here. See, he knew it was right there. You didn't have to convince him. He was carrying it. if you're not carrying the kingdom because it's been snatched out of you. If you don't have anything working on up in here, you have nothing for the Holy Spirit to birth from. You're going to be waiting a long time. Say, God, get me full again. Get me full again. Bring that word back up and let it start abiding again. Forgive us for allowing it to be snatched from our life. Let this word burn again. Let this inheritance burn again. Let this promise burn again. We bind it continually upon our heart. We bind it the frontlets of our spiritual eyes. When I close my eyes, I see your mountain. My mouth is full of inheritance. Out of my innermost being is flowing rivers of generational inheritance. You blesseth the springing thereof, crowning the year with goodness, crowning the year, crowning my generations with goodness, crowning my sons and daughters with goodness, crowning the spiritual sons and daughters with goodness, crowning this church with goodness, crowning our business and partnership with goodness. I call it out of the mountain. I call that blessing out of the mountain. Call that blessing. You'd be amazed what you can carry on the inside of you. If you don't have it inside you, you can't get it out. You're going to be working out here in no man's land. If you're working out here, you're in the wrong position of faith. It won't birth that way. Some of you, God has given a business and you tried to birth it and it would not birth. And the Lord said, it's coming from the inside out, says the Spirit of grace. It's coming from the inside out. And if I hear the Spirit of the Lord said, many of you in this day, I will assign businesses. For some of you will come out from under those that you work for. And I'll cause you to have your own. And I'll cause my inheritance to flow through you. And the blessing that's made them so rich, says the Spirit of grace, that made others so blessed, is going to bless my kingdom in its stead. For I'm going to set you in your lampstand, and I will be your employer, says the Spirit of grace. And I will set you in this place. For believe that today and let it rest within you. For I've spoken it to you. And you said, no, Lord, not me, not me. How can this be? But no, I ask you to believe it now and receive it as part of your inheritance. Let it be settled within. Receive it into your heart and begin to dream. Begin to see. Set thy spiritual eyes upon it. Set your mouth upon it. Come in alignment with what I've said, not what your mind. Rebuke the mountains of doubt and unbelief. Rebuke the mountains of unworthiness. For you are worthy to walk with me as a son and a daughter. You are worthy to receive of mine inheritance, says the Spirit of the Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. Come in to agreement with me. Come into the room for which all things are birthed. Come into this kingdom within, and I'll show you how to bring it without. For you must come in first and learn of me. Take this yoke upon you that's here on the inside. Take the yoke that's easy, the burden is light, and I'll show you how to bring it into the earth. I'll show you what you could not do in 100 years of labor. I'll bring it out within a year, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'll bring it out. Come into this place. Come into the waters. Come in. Come into the waters. Come in to where I am. Come and sit with me. And I'll show you how these things can be, says the Spirit of the Lord. That last thing he said was those trespasses. Don't matter how much you got work on the inside of you, you got a trespass, unforgiveness, and odd. It'll cut off the Holy Ghost. He cannot bring it through. He is bound until the trespass is healed. You got to keep your heart free. They'll try to slip up in you. I had something try to slip up on me. I had to deal with it today. He said, if you have aught in your heart, that's not even unforgiveness. That's why I said you got to keep your heart with all diligence. Some of you are not applying any diligence whatsoever to your heart. Keep it. It's just the spirit of grace. Tend your garden well. Keep the thorns out. Father, forgive us for the aught. We bring those people to the throne of grace right now. We bring it before the throne of grace to release them now, to loose them now, to forgive them now, to release them, to bless them. We ask you to do them good, Father. We ask for love in our heart to be restored towards those people. We can't have anything plugging us up, Lord. We can't have anything blocking this awesome flow of the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, have free reign for our gates to be open day and night. Amen, amen. Listen, start working your faith. Amen. Start letting something work up on the inside of you. Be wise. Get out of that mindset that something's going to happen one day because you know God. You know what I mean? Millions of people know God and nothing ever happens year after year after year after year. Doesn't that frustrate you? Start working. Get in an agreement and cooperation with the Holy Ghost. Work with Him. And you'll bring it forward. Amen.